Just a little side note on this one. If you're squeamish about F-bombs, you might want to sit this one out. Otherwise, enjoy. He was a team captain in 2014. He had back-to-back seasons with double-digit sacks. He's the only Saint in team history to have more than one safety. He was super disruptive on the field, and he's pretty polarizing off the field. He is Junior Gallette.
What's up, guys? This is Mike Carney.
This is Toy Cook.
I'm Randy Mueller.
This is Quinn Early.
I'm Bill Monbro.
I'm Alex Molden.
I'm Jake Cuff. And this is Life of a Saint.
And this is Life of a Saint.
And this is Life of a Saint.
The Life of a Saint.
Life of a Saint.
Life of a Saint.
And this is Life of a Saint. Who dat?
Junior, how you doing? How you feeling, man?
It's up and downs, man. Today I'm actually feeling good, so it's a good day.
All right, so what was the transition like for you going from Haiti to New York?
It was awful. It was probably one of the, it was one of the experiences that made me who I am today, to feel, to just be motivated and feeling like I wasn't even part of this planet. When I first came to this country, I felt like I wasn't even part of just like this world, you know what I'm saying? Coming from a third world country, no running water, no electricity. Like, I felt like, you feel so mean, you're happy, but at the same time, you're like, what the fuck? Why is this like this? Mm-hmm. So it was a happy, but still a feeling of motivation to actually learn to speak the language and just take over whatever it was, you know what I'm saying? At that time, at a young age, 19 years old, I just, obviously wanted to play basketball or football. So I think kids wouldn't even let me play with them because I couldn't speak English. So I had to learn to speak it, you know what I'm saying? So I could just play. So I made the emphasis to, read more books and watch Barney's, Barney's and Friends more. Like Sesame Street. This is a true story, dude.
So there's a question I like asking some of the athletes I interview. At what age did you realize that you were just better than everybody else you were playing against in sports?
Well, now I was always more athletic than a lot of kids around me. But I think at the age I realized that I was like legit. Like before, I was always confident in my abilities, just me, whatever it is. It could be, for example, learn how to speak English. I was like, I'm going to be the best speller in the school. I motivated myself to do that, and I ended up winning the spelling bee in sixth grade. You understand? From a kid who couldn't speak English. It's just motivate, whatever it is, to motivate myself. But I'm trying to figure out if there's a specific time period, because I've always been confident in whatever it is I do, whether it's basketball, football, or spelling bee. It does not matter. I just want to be the best. You know, and that's just the other way. That's just the only way I look at it. I don't even believe in second place or anything like that. So at an age where I felt like, okay, this is it, I feel like probably was, I'd probably say my freshman year in college, we're playing Vanderbilt. I had like that. I think that was the game I realized that, okay, I was on another level above everybody because coach, basically, I was that Sam linebacker, and they had an older guy playing, like, rushing the passer, and had me doing a lot of the coverages, but I was starting. And then he just said, and put me in DN and said, just run around that guy like you do in practice. And then he went crazy. I had, just getting a lot of pressures and was helping with the game. But I think that moment I knew, I was like, hey, this is an SEC team. And then I started doing more research, and the coach told me, he's like, you're going to become our pass rusher. We're not going to wait anymore. Let's just do this now. Because I played my freshman year like 220.
What was it that made you choose Temple University?
Why did I choose Temple? I didn't really have much choice. I was a 3-star recruit. I think Virginia, the coaches at Temple were at Virginia, right? Mm-hmm. They had offered, and then they show up to Temple. They showed up to my high school with, like, Temple gear on. I was like, oh, shit, I got a basketball scholarship. And my coach was like, what? What are you talking about? This is football. I was like, Temple don't got a football thing. Aren't they D2? Whatever at that time, because were awful. They're not the Timber that you know now.
Right, yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It took guys like, you know, me, Muhammad Wilkerson, you know, Terrence Knighton, Jaquan Jarrett, and a lot of those guys to come through there when times was tough and we weren't, you know what I'm saying, the Temple that anybody wanted to come through. But, like, I feel like, you know, that class, my class, my freshman class in Temple, you know, was the beginning of, you know, them turning the program around. Just the golden era period. So that's why I was sold on it. You know, he said, hey, this is the golden era. You're going to go to Temple. We're going to turn this thing around. And I'm naming you my day one starter right now. If you're 195 pounds, when you leave Temple, you'll be 255 and the best pass rusher in football. He said that.
Wow.
I was like, what? What the fuck are you talking about? 255? At the time he told me, I was like, this dude's nuts. I'm just going to take a scholarship.
Now, after you got through college, were you surprised that you weren't drafted?
Yeah, I was very surprised. I went on a visit to New Orleans. I went on my visit to New Orleans, and I spoke to the team at the combine who told me that they would draft me in the third round. It got to the point where I started calling teams because I went on a visit to New Orleans, and I had met, you know, coaches that gave me the number at the combine, and I started calling them during the draft, like, hey, you said you was going to draft me in third round. Hey, you guys, what's going on? And then just never went through. A team called me in the third round. I don't want to say who, but I know for a fact they're like, hey, you know, you see what we did? I'm like, yeah, I saw what you did. You didn't draft me. What the fuck? And people were, like, speaking about me, like, on the third round. I remember, like, it was yesterday. Like, Lewis Riddick started speaking about me, like, this day two players who are the most underrated and the most talented. This is 8 years ago. I remember, I'm like, he knows what he's talking about. Like, and he's saying, Dream Gallet needs to be on a team, da da da. Never got a call. I started getting more calls in, like, the sixth round. But, like, teams were calling about free agency. I think I had, like, a total of, like, 14 teams offering me a free agent deal.
So the draft comes, the draft goes. You didn't get picked, but the New Orleans Saints called shortly after. What was that phone call like for you?
Yeah, I was around my family. I was in tears, and I didn't care. You know, I was in tears because I didn't care. I just knew, you know, I got a phone call. I was upset and frustrated I didn't get drafted. But at the same time, I was so upset and motivated. And I remember I was cheering, crying, going crazy because it was so embarrassing. When my dad kept telling people to come over to the house. And I'm like, who are these people? You know what I'm saying? I don't even know these people. I got all these new cousins. And, you know what I'm saying? And each round that went by, I watched them go upstairs. I'm like, why are you here?
When you arrived to New Orleans, was there anybody that kind of helped you understand what it was like to be a pro and kind of take you under their wing?
Anthony Hargrove, dude. Anthony Hargrove was like a big brother to me. And he, you know, knowing his story, he went through a lot of adverse situations, off the field issues. He took me in, and I was actually living with him for about like the first 2 months of the season. I was legit living with Hargrove. He's like, hey, you don't have to pay for a spot. You can just stay with me. You're a rookie. You're not making that much money. And I was like, all right, awesome, and was living with him. And at that time, he would see me every day. I'd be like, Hargrove, what am I doing wrong? Like, I'm legit killing people at practice. This is ridiculous. Like, nobody can block me. And I remember Greg Williams coming up to me like, well, I'm going to find a way to get you on the field. Because they had Alex Brown playing over me. He had, like, one sack.
Yeah.
It was awful in 2010. It was terrible. I was like, why am I not dressed? Like, this is crazy. But I remember specifically when the Saints had signed me. Like, I feel like when I had signed with the final cut, like, they had called me and said, hey, won't you come? I was like, for what? I'm not coming. If you haven't come, you can tell me on the phone. They're like, no, hell no, we're not going to release you. And I still had to meet with Joe Vitt. So I thought it was something there right there, you know what I'm saying? He's like, yeah, look, I met with Joe Vitt. He basically told me, like, hey, you know, it's the most money you're ever going to make. You know, we're trusting you to do this and that. I'm like, like, why are you giving me this speech? Like, I've been here. You know what I'm saying? It was weird at that point, but I didn't care. I just wanted a job. I was like, listen, I'll do whatever you want. I'm not going to go out. I'm not doing anything. And I worked my ass off to become a team captain, and they saw me, you know what I'm saying, improve. Just each year with them playing me in 2011, I came in and I got a total of like 300 and some snaps and was very productive at like 4.5, 5 sacks, I think. And you know, and wasn't getting a lot of playing time. Was getting, you know, 15, 20 snaps. And Greg Williams, basically 3-4 heavy pressure defense. It's built for, you know, it's not built for pass rushers. It's built for the DBs. And that's the year, you know, I think Roman Harper had 7.5 sacks. He broke the sack record for his safety. He led our team with sacks. Yeah, I remember. And I remember, I think Will had like 6.5 sacks. I remember like it was yesterday, dude, and I just felt like I was deserving more playing time then. But, you know, it is what they had, just came off the Super Bowl. In 2011, we went 13-3. And, like, went 13-3, and the team that won the Super Bowl that year, we beat the shit out of them, like, 42-14, like, 3 weeks prior. And, like, week 13, I think we beat the shit out of the Giants.
Now, a lot of people would say the 2011 team was actually better than the Super Bowl-winning 2009 team.
Not even close.
Yeah.
I'm trying to tell you, when I said that, people went, they lost their mind. The 2013 team is better than the 2019. Like, because it's like, if you're going player for player, and that's like the statement I had made, I'm like, we have more talent on this team than the Saints have ever had. So, fans, if you are, you know, worried about, you know, lack of talent, we're going to get this fixed because we have the talent to win the Super Bowl. Man, from that day, I gave that statement because I remember specifically, you know, being a team captain and players coming up to me asking me for guidance and, you know what I'm saying, for help, because a lot of our players who were expecting to perform weren't playing at a high level. So they asked me, like, hey, what do you do? You know, you had a bad game or two. Like, what do you do? You know, so I'm like, well, if you got one bad game, you better not, you know what I'm saying, like, it could lead to 2 or 6 bad games just depending on, you know what I'm saying, your mental. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? How bad is that game? Because my bad games aren't bad games because I have so much under high expectations. So I might go in the game and not have a sack and had 7 pressures, and I'd be mad as shit because I didn't have a sack. That, you know what I'm saying? That's a bad game for me. It is what it is. I feel like, you know, God bless me with the ability to have at least one every game with the right amount of snaps. That's like, there's no way. So a guy like me would be disappointed. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I remember specifically there were guys who were key players, I'm not naming the names, on our team that come to me like, man, this is shitty. I can't believe I'm playing like this. I'm sorry. Like, would apologize repeatedly to me, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, this was 2014 and I was playing at a high level. I remember specifically. And I would encourage him. So I think one of the things I used, like, right after that, I was like, when that, I remember like a situation where the guy actually came up to me and was telling me how he was down, and I encouraged him, you know what I'm saying, like how much of a beast he was, how much of help we need from him in one bad game. Everybody has those, you know what I'm saying, like it's the NFL. And trying to encourage the dude because he was young, he was a second year player, and he was a big part of our defense. So with that being said, I think I had an interview right after that in the locker room. They were like, hey, what's going on? Do you feel like, I think that question was like, do you guys lack talent or something like that? I'm like, what are you talking about? We just went, the previous year, we just went 11-5 and lost to the team that won the Super Bowl to Seattle. Like, that's who we lost to. Like, right. What are you talking about? We're legit so close. And I said, we have just as much talent, if not better, than the team that won here in 2009. Scott Shanley would not be playing on this team. All right, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's what was in my mind. He would not be playing on this team. You know what I'm saying? Like, Pearson Praley would not be playing on this team. You know what I'm saying? Like, these are just the facts. You know what I'm saying? The middle linebackers we had, you know what I'm saying? David Hawthorne in 2013 and Curtis Lofton. Go look up the numbers. 140 tackles apiece. Like, go look up those numbers. Akeem Hicks, you know who that guy is?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Cam Jordan on the other side, or you know who, Junior Gillette, back-to-back double digits. When have you guys had that team? You have guys who are legit, you know what I'm saying, Pro Bowlers. Like, Curtis Lofton is legit. At his prime, was 140 tackles apiece. David Hawthorne, same thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's, would you take 2 of those or 1 of Vilma? Yeah. And being a captain on the team, we don't need to defend. You know what I'm saying? Like, what? You know, so I said that. They took my words and literally said, Junior Gillette said this defense is better than Super Bowl team. I'm like, what the fuck? It's not what I said. But I knew after that there was backlash, and from former players, there's backlash. I'm like, you gotta see where I'm coming from here. Where at that time we finished the season 7-9, but we could have made the playoffs with 8-8.
Right.
We could have made the playoffs that year with 8-8. Carolina made the playoffs 7-8-1. You understand? So at that time we were like, I think I forgot. We were going into a game to play Atlanta to clinch the playoffs. We beat Atlanta. We clinched the playoffs and we lost. They beat the shit out of them. They beat us. They beat us, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. It just made no sense because, and legitimately, I was coming home free. Rob Brown was sending me on blitzes and sending our DBs on blitzes coming home free every time, but we could not get to Matt Ryan because we legit didn't have a corner that couldn't, he could not cover a slant route. You know what I'm saying? Like, he could not cover it. And once Keenan Lewis went down after the first half, it was over. Julio Jones just closed us. We were losing the hitch and slant routes. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? We can't stop a slant or a hitch. Like, there's nothing we can do.
What did it mean to you when you were voted captain of the New Orleans Saints in 2014?
It meant everything to me. You understand? Like, because I knew going in there undrafted what it took to become a player, you know, become like the face of the defense. Like, the process you got to go through in the NFL ranks, you understand, as an undrafted guy to go to a team that just won a Super Bowl and become a team captain is a legendary process, and it's a tough one that anybody can go through. So, to me, to get all the way to the top of the hill and get shot down, you know, for basically something I felt like I was doing, and just because I had a, you know, from a I feel like, you know, at that time, I was not prepared mentally for them to release me. It was too much of an attachment to New Orleans. I was not ready mentally to handle that type of rejection. You understand? Because mm-hmm. It was like, there's no one that goes through that rank just like I did. You know what I'm saying? To make everything about New Orleans, even, you know, I got it tatted on me. You know what I'm saying? Because I just knew I'm here. There's no way. But, you know what I'm saying? That video came out. They said this was just too much and it'd be a lot of backlash. But nothing really happened. I never got suspended for the video. So it's crazy.
It's maybe a dumb question, but any regrets with how you handled some of the things that you dealt with off the field?
I definitely have a regret. What the hell? I was just on a fucking damn near $50 million deal. I'm the captain of the Saints. And you know what I'm saying? I don't have a job. So for me to sit here and be like, I don't have regrets is crazy.
Yeah.
I'd be insane to sit here and say that I don't wish I was on New Orleans still in 7-1. I feel like leaving New Orleans, like my life has been on a downward spiral since, because I just wasn't able to handle that adversity that I feel like the universe was bringing on to me. And if I was able to handle that adversity, the Saints would have signed me at the beginning of the season because, you know, I would have never done any talk bad about the Saints after I left. You know, I was just so hurt emotionally and mentally. It was just like, you know, it was literally like, it was, I compare it to like a relationship, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It was legit like your girlfriend telling you, like, she doesn't want you anymore. And, you know, and you literally did everything to get this girl. You know what I'm saying? I just told you 14 other teams called me in free agency to go over. I had the choice to go to 14 other teams. You know what I'm saying? So for me to be so in love, I fell in love with the Saints just watching them fucking kill. Well, I don't want to say that. The game that made me fall in love with them is just watching them do what they did to Brett Favre in that NFC Championship game. I was like, no, there's no other team I want to play for. This defense is crazy right now. Like, they're just hitting people lights out. You know, it was just ridiculous. They had like 42 takeaways that year.
Yeah, that was crazy.
At that time, it was like... But yeah, I can't sit here and tell you I have no regrets, dude. Like, I went on to Redskins and was, you know, I felt like I was dominating in camp, was going crazy. I felt so motivated to prove that the Saints made a mistake that I held on to that. You know what I'm saying? And anytime you hold on to anger and bitterness, it's only going to affect you. It's not going to affect the person that you're angry and bitter towards to. I was literally angry and bitter towards the whole city of New Orleans as if it was their fault. I was the situation I was in. It was my fault. It was me who surrounded myself with the type of people that I was surrounding myself with. And it was me that took actions on to protect people in a certain scenario. You understand? And if we want to talk about it, like, anybody who's put in that scenario, I mean, of course, if I would go back, hell no. If I was on that beach, I would fucking run. Like, that was crazy. But yeah. I felt like I had to protect my friends. And if you go back and watch the video, that's exactly what I was doing. And that's just my loyalty being a fault. I'm loyal to a fault. And it is what it is. I learn my mistakes, and I'm humble from it. But that's like, you know, it is 5 years ago. So for them, you know, at that time, for them to release me in 2015 for a video I have in 2013, me to feel like I was, you know, defending my friends, you know what I'm saying? Of course, I regret it and wish that never happened. But, I mean, everybody has demons in their closet. So, I mean, you know, let he who to judge me, let him, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Let him catch the first stone if you want to judge me. So, like I said, but at that time, you know, it was too much hurt emotionally and mentally. Like everything, if you follow me, you would know that I've been one of the fan favorites for a long time. You know what I'm saying? No one had went through the ranks of going undrafted, becoming team captain, and getting rewarded a hot. Like, nobody's done that. So, you know what I'm saying? I always had an emotional attachment to the New Orleans. So, when the New Orleans, I got a call that, and the call was from Mickey Lewis that, yeah, or you're not going to Greenbrier. I was like, what are you talking about right now? You know what I'm saying? I didn't even believe it. I called him back. You know, I called him like, Mickey, he just called me. So I'm confused. Called him back. So that's how much of a shock I was. So,
what is the most misunderstood thing about Junior Gallette?
Just my character overall as a person. I feel like anybody would really, people don't really do their track record. They can, you know, they can just read a headline real quick, and then that'll be the story for them. They won't even go into the article. So, like, you just put an article, Junior Gallette, you know what I'm saying, does this, and people won't even read it. They'll just say, hey, I saw this guy, you know, on the beach fighting with a bunch of people. Like, you know what I'm saying? They just judge you. Like, you don't look at that video and see that I was protecting my friends. You're crazy. I think just, The misunderstanding that I'm legit a person who's been trying to do nothing but good and just been in fucked up situations because I surround myself with, you know, just I wouldn't say not good people, but people who didn't have my best interests. So it is what it is. You live and you learn.
So during the course of your career is kind of when social media first got going. As a player, do you see a lot of that, like, negative noise online, whether it's, again, through social media or even some of the standard media outlets?
I told you I'm a player that's always been a fan. If you see me engaging the fans, so me, it hits me home. I had to really learn that I deleted my social media when the Saints released me. I deleted my social media. I had to start all over, like, a year later because I was, you know, affected so negatively by the fans who I thought loved me. We're talking shit about me. But then I had to put myself in a fan situation. Like, damn, I talk shit about Kobe all the time when Kobe, you know what I'm saying, is having an off night.
Gotcha.
And once I got to sit with myself, like, okay, these are fans. And now I'm seeing these same fans that talk shit about me. Like, man, all we need is Junior Gallette, and this is a Super Bowl. I'm like, what the f-? You got to be kidding me. And, you know, me, I... Yeah, my maturation level was not up there for me to understand that the fans, you know what I'm saying, I'm a product myself, and the fans will follow me regardless, you understand? Like, they're my fans, they're going to read, I'm going to watch this, see, I had to take me to begin release to realize that I still had fans in the rooms that really appreciated me and knew how hard I worked to get to where I was, and I was just in a series of rough patches of, you know, not being able to protect my blessing.
Life of a Saint 13, Junior Gallette in the books. Junior, can't thank you enough for your time. I appreciate all you guys for sticking it out. Hoot out, everybody. We'll see you on the next one.